Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 22 of Hot Takes Only, presented by the Hot Takes Network. Unfortunately, Alex is unable to join us this week, so I've called in the Dream Team to help our listeners out this week. Firstly, a returning guest of the pod, HTN's hockey and baseball expert. Welcome back to the pod, Isaac Carmichael. How are you, man?
Pretty good, Benny. Nationals won game 5 yesterday. I got a future on that, plus 900. So if they make the World Series, I'm looking good. But it's a good win last night.
As someone might have said, not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Those plus 900s.
Electric. Secondly, another returning guest of the pod, HTN's fantasy sports guru, Matthew Watson. What's going on, my man?
Not much, Ben. It's really great to be back here. Haven't been back on this pod. A lot has happened since then. You know, going to be pumping out a few blogs next week on Hot Takes Network itself. So if you are a fan of my work, keep an eye out, folks.
Beautiful. Finally, we've got a brand new guest of the pod, and HTN's newest contributor, Cody Vanderbijl. Cody, how's your first month or so gone with HTN?
So far, it's gone pretty well. I've gotten good feedback from everyone who has read my articles. They seem to enjoy it. I will say I'm a little nervous for today, but excited for my podcast debut.
Oh, we're happy to have you. Happy to have you. Yeah, we got the Dream Team here today. So hopefully I'm sure it'll be a good podcast. But, you know, we always like to say at the beginning of each episode, while we are endorsing these picks, we want everyone to do their own research before they take them. These are just lines that we are interested in or maybe have locked in already, but you should always do your own research before you lock in these lines yourself. All right. We've got picks from all around the sports arena this week. So I'm going to throw it over to Isaac for his first pick of the week.
First pick of the week. Well, first of all, I don't really disclose picks to other people. I think there's someone in the room here who is a jinx, turns locks into losses. Mr. Cody Vanderbijl. I think I'm like 2-6 on every pick I've told him in my career, so I stopped doing it. So this is a big step. If I have a bad weekend, it's not on me. It's on you. So I'll call you if it goes wrong. It goes poorly. But if you don't hear from me, it means I'm rolling in money.
We'll see. Okay.
All right. We're going to start in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Hurricanes against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Both teams will be on a back-to-back that night. Don't know if you guys know this, but I eye down these back-to-backs, the scheduling of all the sports leagues I take advantage of. This one, both backup goalies are expected to be in here. Hurricanes are at home the night before, and they are home that night. So home and home, much easier on the back-to-backs than Columbus Blue Jackets, who are home and then away. Also, another note is that Merzlikins.
That's a heck of a name.
Looked absolutely brutal against Pittsburgh, so I have no confidence in him. Carolina, more confidence and more depth. They have a better team. I'm taking the puck line. Carolina puck line -1.5 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's my first pick.
So obviously these lines have not come out yet. Are certain odds you're going to be targeting as to where you would take it versus maybe not?
I expect Carolina to be pretty heavily favored, like -160, -165. That's heavily favored in the hockey world anyway. So I expect the puck line to be between +130 and +140, which is fairly good value. If you get any higher than that, I would for sure do it. The only time I probably wouldn't do it would be if it's around even. I mean, puck lines are by no means any guarantee. So especially when both teams aren't back-to-back, it's a low-scoring game. So I would expect about a +130, 140 in that range there.
Yeah, I know you've done some pretty solid work with looking at the back-to-backs. Great example of two teams on back-to-backs.
Should be a
great night.
I also really like how you're talking about, you know, CBJ then going on the road as well. So obviously they're going to be in a city. They don't practice in this arena. It's a lot harder for you on that. But also on Carolina's standpoint, I personally love Carolina's offense. I think they're a sneaky good offensive team. They don't have a lot of big names, but a lot of real high upside guys like Niederreiter, Tara Vinen, Svechnikov. Even you go down to the third line and they got guys like Dzingel and Holla. So to me, if you're going on back-to-back nights, you have to have an offense that when your top line isn't performing well, you can go to guys in your second, your third to pick you up. So that's why I agree with you. I like Carolina.
Not only that, but on back-to-backs, you have to roll your four lines. So if you have no depth, you're in a big trouble. The third line for the Maple Leafs against Montreal Canadiens, they had a great back-to-back first two periods, much in part due to Kerfoot's line. And then they sort of went away after that Kerfoot penalty, and then Montreal started getting back in that game. So you need to have depth playing on a back-to-back. Columbus doesn't have it. Carolina has it on both defense and offense, and they have two right now pretty hot goaltenders, especially Reimer, who I expect to be in there. So that's I think it's a good speculation for that game.
Carolina started really well. Like I think they're going to make a lot of people a lot of money this year. I think they're kind of a sneaky team that not a lot of people really look at. But
I think here's the problem. We get into these rebuilds and the team's tanking, and everyone thinks Ottawa Senators, right? But there's a lot, like, I think that people came into there thinking Columbus is going to be exactly like the Ottawa Senators, but they're not going to be. They have Seth Jones. They have Roenski on the blue lines. They have Wenberg up front. They have a young core that's already NHL ready. Ottawa's problems, they have, like, really nobody except for big contracts like Bobby Ryan. Columbus has definitely more potential there. So I think they're going to be a contender. But they've had a hot start. I mean, they beat Buffalo, big win on home ice there against the Sabres. And then they had a couple tough games against some good Eastern Conference teams. But I think Carolina still, though, they have a more complete team. Columbus has to go on the play against the Ducks, who have also been fairly strong to begin the season. So that's going to be a tough back-to-back for them.
All right. Second pick of the week, throwing it over to Watson. Watson, what you got, buddy?
All right, we're going to take a trip in my favorite rocket ship right over to NFL. We're going to take a look at a player line that has not come out yet, so I'm going to give you the projection of where I think it's going to end up. But we're going to talk about score projections in the Denver-Tennessee game. And I am a big fan of a Noah Fant anytime touchdown. And I should warn you ahead of time, my bets are not for the faint of heart. Noah Fant is not a top weapon on that Denver offense. However, there's a couple of things you have to consider here. First of all, Tennessee's defensive secondary is a pair of really good cornerbacks, also known as the Patriots B team, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler, who are going to be able to shut down Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, or at least limit them to less than their normal output. Also interesting to note that Tennessee this year has given up 4 touchdowns to tight ends, and also only 4 touchdowns to wide receivers all year. On top of that, they've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns into the end zone. So as soon as Joe Flacco walks down there, which he'll probably do once, maybe twice in the entire game, he's going to have to take a look at who he's going to throw the ball to. And for me, that's going to end up being Noah Fant. I anticipate a line on a Noah Fant anytime touchdown to be, you know, fairly advantageous for the better, probably somewhere in the plus 500 to plus 750 range. So I'm going to say go with Noah Fant because this game is going to be decided by a touchdown or two. And when it does, Joe Flacco is going to be looking Noah's way.
It's pretty wild, like how, I mean, he's had a bit of an impact. And then we talk about rookie tight ends. Obviously, Fant was the first round pick of Denver, 20th overall. Hasn't really found his groove, which tends to be sort of a trend with first round tight ends. But the guy's a great player. Like you figure he's got to break out at some point. He was awesome running that dual tight end system with TJ in Iowa. So you got to figure that the guy knows what he's doing. I love the conversation about the cornerbacks like that. That just makes sense. You got to look somewhere else if you're not able to push it outside.
I mean, this kind of gets into one of my takes, so I won't go too in depth right now. But there is a stat that Joe Flacco has averaged 6.3 yards per attempt since the start of the 2017 season, which is the lowest among NFL quarterbacks. So especially when you're playing a defense that has good corners, you know Joe Flacco is going to look at that short slant route probably to Noah Fant. So I actually do like the take.
And go
ahead, Watson.
The only other thing I was going to point out was you were bringing it back to the whole idea of Noah Fant being a really good tight end prospect. And one of the things that I was impressed with is his athleticism. Normally on a defense, you're going to match up either a strong safety or some kind of more athletic linebacker on the tight end. But if your tight end has plus athleticism over anything, that just creates a bigger mismatch. So regardless who the Titans are going to put on him, and at this point, looking at their secondary, I really don't know who that's going to be. I think that Fant can outrun and outmuscle whoever they put on.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love the take. Seems like a great one. A lot of great value, hopefully, in that one as well. Okay, we're going to throw it over to our first podcast guy, Cody. Give us your first pick on Hot Takes Only.
This better be a hit, by the way. Your first one better be a hit.
I sure hope it is. But Watson's take was kind of a good segue. I'm a big fan of money lines, just because when I see a team that I believe is going to win at plus odds, to me it seems dumb not to take it. You want to do your research to make sure, like I said, with that Joe Flacco stat. So I have the Tennessee Titans over the Denver Broncos. The game is in Denver, but I think the biggest factor of this game is the quarterbacks. Looking at like Phillip Lindsay versus Derrick Henry, they're very comparable in rush yards, rushing touchdowns. Henry has a couple more rush attempts, but in terms of the like the stats they've posted, they're very similar. The biggest difference is quarterbacks. So Joe Flacco has 6 touchdowns, but 4 picks this season. And I already said that he has that 6.3 yards per attempt since 2017.
Which is insane. Like, that's so incredibly low that, man, I can't even believe that when you said that.
Yeah. So then the Titans have allowed 6.4 passing yards per attempt to quarterbacks over that same time frame, which is tied for the 6th best. So, like, in terms of defense, there is a little bit of a margin there, but I think overall the Broncos have a better defense than the Titans. But Marcus Mariota, already over 1,000 passing yards for the season, 7 touchdowns, and surprisingly, 0 interceptions. But on the flip side, Denver has given up the 4th fewest points to quarterbacks in terms of fantasy. But Marcus Mariota is without an interception this season. So I think just that alone, because Denver has a bit of an edge on defense, the Titans are going to have that edge on offense. So I think that Derrick Henry doesn't get looked at as much this game. Mariota will be looking towards more of his wide receivers.
You know, I'm looking at what the Titans have done in the past 4 weeks here. And, you know, the Denver Broncos have a good defense. So if you see what they've done against good defenses in the last couple of games, they were held to 7 points against the Bills at home, and they were held to 7 points on the road against the Jaguars. So the problem is are they going to be able to get more than 7 points? They got 24. That was their highest against the Falcons, but nothing really special there against high octane defenses, I guess you would say. But and they're on the road. They're in Denver. I mean, what's their line at right now? What's their plus? I haven't even.
The Titans is plus 115.
Yes, that's I would like to see a higher plus, bring that up to like plus 140 if I was dabbling on that. But I mean, it's all up to that offense, and right, like, you know, they've been held pretty low a couple times, which is my concern.
But I mean, the Denver defense hasn't really been that good this season. Like, they haven't sacked the quarterback, they haven't turned the ball over. They had a solid week against Phillip Rivers last week. Phillip Rivers had one of the worst games he's put up in a very, very long time. But again, like, you look at the Broncos offense, and I'm just not really sure how they score. You look at last week, they put up, I think it was like a 70-yard touchdown to Cortland Sutton. Like, you know, how predictable is stuff like that, really?
You're always going to have broken plays in every game, and that's why it's hard to predict this, right? The real telling thing for me for the Broncos is you look at the Broncos against another team with, you know, upside defense. I do believe the Titans have an upside defense and limited offense. I go back to the Bears game. Denver should have, by all rights and purposes, taken that game, but they couldn't close it out. And for me, and obviously the Bears fan Cody here is glad they didn't. But to me, if I'm looking at the end of the game and you're putting in a Titans offense who has a lot of real speedy wide receivers in there, with Corey Davis, AJ Green, you've got Derrick Henry, you can pretty much take it to the house if he gets that bowling ball rolling at any point in time, versus the Denver offense, who, again, like Benny said, you get the odd long pass, but where is the offense coming from? I just don't trust the Broncos. So I understand what Isaac's saying about the line being really close. I'm just struggling to see if this gets to end game, how the Broncos are going to pull it off.
Yeah, like the Broncos, you look at last week, they pull off a win against the Chargers, which I think has probably inflated this line a little bit. I'll be the first to admit, I thought the Broncos were going to be a better team going into this season. I think I even said it on the podcast for a future. But they've just been terrible this season, like just not a good football team at all. So I think the result last week has definitely influenced this line. But I'm not sure the result last week was that great. You look at the last 50 minutes of that football game, and the Broncos put up 6 points, right? The defense held firm for sure, but that's what's going to happen with Phillip Rivers every once in a while. He's going to put up a dud, as good of a quarterback as he is. And I just think the Titans are, you know, they've been solid enough, and They played really great defense so far this year. So I like the plus money. I think there's value there for sure.
Yeah, just looking at the Titans' past games, week one, they beat Cleveland 43-13. Cleveland was supposed to be a good team this season, but so far has yet to prove that. Last week against Buffalo was a bit of an anomaly because it was a 3-touchdown game. So like Watson kind of said, with broken plays, you're always going to have games like that where it's a one-score game. Their other two losses were in week two against Indy, who just beat the Chiefs. And then in week three at Jacksonville, they lost to one of my new favorite players, Gardner Minshew. So I think that because they faced two good teams there, those were still close games as well. But the games that they've won handily against both the Browns and the Falcons. So I think that against a team like Denver, who is 0-4, and they did get their first win last week, but I want to attribute that more to the Chargers beating themselves than the Broncos beating the Chargers. So that's why seeing the Titans at plus money, I had to take it.
Just wanted to add one more thing onto that, which is Titans pass rush is a little scary. Cameron Wake's looking like he's turning back the clock a little bit. You got Jarrell Casey busting through the middle there. Harold Landry is a blitzer with a lot of plus upside. And to me, Joe Flacco has proven in the past that when he gets pressure in his face, he makes very bad decisions with the football. So if Tennessee can pressure that really questionable Denver offensive line that has been called for endless amounts of holding penalties and was even called out earlier by executives in their own organization for not performing at the level that an offensive line should, if they can get harassed and moved enough around by Tennessee's pass rush, I think this game could get away from that Denver offense in a real hurry.
Very nice. A nice little debate. That's what we want. We want people to critically analyze these lines. So make sure you do your own research before this game, because it should be a pretty good one for those that that like maybe low scoring football.
I'm almost looking at under after this conversation.
Okay, I got my first pick of the week. I'm going to the toilet bowl of NFL football games. Washington versus Miami this week. Two teams that are looking for a win. They might actually be looking for a loss, both of them, if they're looking to rebuild. The over-under set at 41, and I really like the over. I've already locked this in on the week. I'm really surprised that this number hasn't moved up. It moved up from 41 to 41.5 and then back down to 41. The biggest thing for me is that so far, two offenses that have struggled tremendously. But if you look at the opponents these teams have had to play, the defenses that they've played against are just unbelievable. So they've played 9 games combined. Washington's played 5, Miami's played 4. Of those 9 games, I believe 7 of those games have been against defenses that are in the top 11 in the league in terms of yards per game allowed. So just some really stifling defenses that I think, while the offenses are not great on both sides for Washington and Miami, I think they've just come up against some really good defenses that have made the offenses look maybe not as bad as they are. And again, on the flip side of that, both teams have terrible defenses. Like, let's be honest, Washington and Miami have basically gutted everything on the defensive side of the football. So you get offenses that maybe are not being valued as highly as they should be versus defenses that are terrible. And I think that this is a recipe for an over here. Another thing that I really like, and I haven't figured out why this line hasn't moved because of it, new head coach of the Washington Redskins, Bill Callahan, who used to be their offensive line coach and now interim head coach, has pretty much announced without announcing that Case Keenum is going to start this week. One thing that I like about Case Keenum, he's been there. He's proven himself. He's not going to set the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination, but the guy knows what it takes to be in the NFL. One thing that I do like about him, especially from the over perspective, is he scores touchdowns, but he also turns the ball over a ton. Last season, 15 interceptions, fumbled 11 times. Now, he only lost 2 of them, but fumbled 11 times. Turnovers are over machines because they put balls in really bad situations for your own team's defense. So I love the over here. Josh Rosen, last note, has been averaging, I think it's 11.2 yards per completion, which I think last season would have put him very high if he was his own team. So the Dolphins continue to let him push the ball down the field. The completion percentage isn't there, but against a pretty bad defense, I see it improving this week. Cody.
Yeah, so I really like that Case Keenum point. Because I was actually eyeing up this game before he was going to play. Because if he wasn't playing, I would actually take the Dolphins. But people are going to be looking at these past 3 weeks for the Redskins, which were against the Bears with a top defense, the Jets, and the Patriots also with a top defense. Just the quarterback performance in those games, interceptions in every game. Keenum had 3 against the Bears. McCoy didn't do very well last week against New England. But what people fail to remember is weeks 1 and 2 against Philly and Dallas. Keenum had a quarterback rating of over 100 in each game and no interceptions. So although they did lose, Keenum performed. So I think against the team like the Dolphins, who don't have the defense that the Eagles or the Cowboys do, I think this over will hit for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it was. So the Bears, the Giants, and the Patriots have been the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Sorry, Giants, not the Jets.
Yeah. No worries. Tough sledding right there. Yeah, I thought it was kind of ridiculous to bench Case Keenum like they did in that game. Like you said, he had a pretty solid start to the season, and then just to throw him under the bus after, what was it, one half or something like that?
I think it was like just after halftime.
Yeah, if we were benching NFL quarterbacks from one bad half, come on. Would not be very good. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes would be the only ones left in the league.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I have to say the thing that's really I'm struggling with both of these teams is they have players with high upside who can turn the corner and make this game hit that over that you bet. My struggle is you need a couple of them to really go off, and I think the comment about the defenses earlier was really accurate. They face some real good defenses. These players haven't shown what they're able to do. And then you go into their rosters themselves and you see guys on Miami like Kenyon Drake, like Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, game-breaking guys who very similarly to what we were talking about earlier with large like plays breaking out, like those 70, 80-yard plays, all of those guys have that ability to do that. You go to Washington and you see some young guys there like Trey Quinn, Terry McLaurin, you know, guys like that who could have the opportunity to break out. So I think it's a real sneaky good pick for the over there. I like it. I'm just curious as to how these players are going to perform in relation to a poor defense versus a good one.
Definitely. Will be a great game. As a Dolphins fan, I think I've said on the pod, I've watched every down of football that they've played. Apart from after the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter in the Dallas game, it was just too depressing at that point. So I will be tuning in and I will be cheering for the over as well as cheering for my team. I think this is one of the few times we could actually get a W this year. So I know Isaac has some hockey left. So to stick with the gridiron, we're going to continue with what we've had. I'm going to flip it back to Cody for his second gridiron pick of the week.
So my second take for football this week, again, is another money line. Niners over the Rams for plus 145. The Rams are at home, but I think this is going to be a defensive showing. To give you some perspective, overall, all of these stats are in terms of yards per game. The Niners are second in the league in terms of defense, while the Rams are middle of the pack at 13th. In terms of passing yards per game, the Niners are, again, second, the Rams 16th. Rushing yards, San Fran still top 5 at 5th, and the Rams are at 15. So I think just because the Niners' defense is so much better than the Rams' defense, that they shut down Jared Goff. Todd Gurley has not performed yet this year. Jared Goff has not looked all too great. He's made some good plays, but too many interceptions for me. But one thing to keep in mind about the Niners is their defensive stats are slightly inflated because they played Tampa Bay, Cincy, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland last week. But as we saw last week against the Browns, the Niners can run the football. So Jimmy G didn't have to do anything in that game. So when it comes to the Rams defense, if the run game isn't working, they can turn to Jimmy G. They've got multiple options, and they have yet to show what they're capable of this season.
Nick Bosa is pretty awesome at football, isn't he? Like that guy, that guy was a stud against the Browns. They absolutely took it to them. Like it was unbelievable. I didn't think that game was going to go like that at all. It's pretty wild that the 49ers are undefeated going into week 6 of this season. Watson,
I mean, we just talked about Niners running game. That is a backfield stable over there. That reminds me of the Earth, Wind, and Fire that the Giants had a few years ago. Like, come on. You've got Tevin Coleman walking back in, tearing out a Giant touchdown. You've got, I think, I'm going to forget them all, but I know there's Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert, and
Matt Breida.
How could I forget? Like, when you have those options to choose from, you have a top three tight end in George Kittle, and you've got a couple of speedy receivers, you're going to cause problems for people. So I think what we haven't seen yet is the Niners offense at full capacity, and that is a scary thought.
Yeah, this is a really interesting game, especially with the Rams. You know, they've sort of been hot and cold this season, so we'll see what happens here. This could be another, you know, absolute blowout. I could see a scenario where the Rams just pound on the 49ers, but I could also see a scenario where Jared Goff doesn't live up to what we've seen. I have heard rumors that Todd Gurley might miss this game, because all of the fantasy people that I follow on Twitter have been saying to pick up his backup, so I figure that's why. Yeah, super interesting game. The under is actually kind of interesting. If you're thinking about the defenses, numbers at 50.5 right now, definitely something maybe to take a look at, but...
Yeah, I was actually just about to mention that, just because it's going to be the battle of the defenses. This game is typically going to be low scoring. You can see that with the Rams against Cleveland. Wasn't very offensive game. The game only finished 20-13 for the Rams victory. So I think we're going to see a similar game against the 49ers this week.
Very nice. Cody might even be doubling down later on the money line and the under. Ooh. Electric. Watson.
One thing that we haven't talked about yet, beyond Todd Gurley, is Rams injuries. And we just bring up the Rams defense there. Clay Matthews does not have a jaw currently. That is not a good situation. Where's the edge rush going to come from? Dante Fowler and who? I don't really know. Taylor Rapp was limited in practice with an ankle injury. Really good rookie in the secondary for them. Aqib Talib did not practice with ribs. So now all of a sudden you have a battle of two very good defenses. One defense starts hurting. They don't have all their players in. We flip to the offense, and Brandon Cooks has a concussion. So is this Rams team going to be at 100%? I don't know. We'll still have to see, but it's not looking good for them right now.
Very nice. No, I think will be an interesting game to follow, regardless if you bet on it or not. Definitely one that I'll be tuning in for. Watson, I'm going to go to you for your second pick of the week.
Yeah, so... Remember earlier when I mentioned my takes were not for the faint of heart? This take is going to be a little bit absurd, but I just want you to hear me through it. If you're looking for really good value, I think there's definitely value here. And that is the Houston Texans money line in Arrowhead, which sounds very aggressive, but hear me out. So far this year, first of all, the money line right now is sitting at plus 175 for all those who haven't taken a peek yet. The Kansas City Chiefs have only faced two top 10 offenses this year in the form of the Ravens and the Lions. I'm not counting the Jags because that was week one and there was a whole quarterback issue there. So if we take the Ravens and the Lions, those two games were decided by 9 total points. And one of those games needed a Patrick Mahomes miracle comeback in order to win it. You look at the Houston offense, it's starting to heat up. Will Fuller went completely off last week. And when you pair him with DeAndre Hopkins, all of a sudden you've got a really tantalizing 1-2 combo against a Chiefs secondary that's very vulnerable. Houston is currently 11th in passing and 10th in rushing in the league, and they're still just starting to figure things out. One of the biggest issues for the Chiefs last week when they went up against the Colts was that their run game got shut down in the early going. They fell behind, and then all of a sudden they had to pass deep. Houston has a 12th ranked rush defense that has allowed less than 100 yards per game. And the Colts are even worse than them. So if the Colts can stymie the Chiefs running game, Houston might as well do the same thing. The biggest thing I think here is Patrick Mahomes' injury. So Mr. Mahomes has a little bit of an ankle injury. He got it wrapped up at the end of the Indianapolis game. And a quote from yesterday was, his ankle isn't perfect, but feels pretty good. And I really don't think that's a good sign. The Houston passing defense has... 15 sacks and has only given up 2 passes of longer than 40 yards. So at the end of the day, this is where I look at it, which is that the Chiefs have a hurting quarterback, have a questionable running offense, and have a really bad secondary. Yes, it's Arrowhead Stadium. Yes, it's one of, if not the loudest stadiums in the NFL, it's going to be hard for Houston to pull this off. But there's a lot of good factors that are pointing the way of Houston. And if you feel like you want to take a chance, the plus 175 is there.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's actually an absurd take. The Texans have shown that they can score a lot of points. Like, look at last week versus Atlanta. 53 points. Yes, they allowed 32, but they still scored 53 points. And the Chiefs don't have that good of a defense, really. And I forget his name, but one of the commentators in the Chiefs game against the Colts pointed out that a lot of Patrick Mahomes comes from his mobility. How many times have we seen him escape the pocket and throw that trademark no-look pass? Like, if his ankle is still not 100% and he's not that mobile, especially against a Houston pass rush, I don't think that Patrick Mahomes succeeds.
That's a great point, a great take, Cody. Hope you can go 2 for 2 on the day, but we'll see in your debut. You know, we'll see. We'll have to keep a nice tracker on you specifically there. But a stat to wrap this up: the Chiefs are 1-4 first quarter money line. So if you want to dabble a little bit before you get the money line, make a little bit of money before your heart's pounding in the fourth quarter, good option for you guys, just right there. The only time that they weren't losing after the first quarter was the opening day against Jacksonville. But I think it's a great take. The Texans are actually, I believe, on Pinnacle right now. They're a plus 179. So a little bit of better value over here than in Bet365. But very similar lines nonetheless. So some good value there. But first quarter also another option.
Very nice. No, that's an interesting one, Watson. Watson coming in with the hot takes today. That's what we're here for. Very nice. So I'm going to go with my last gridiron pick of the week. I'm going to the Seattle Seahawks Cleveland Browns football game. We talked about the Browns a little bit. What a terrible showing on Monday Night Football for the Cleveland Browns. The line, this game is in Cleveland. Seattle is a road favorite. 2 points. And I'm going to give the points. I'm going to take Seattle in this contest. I think that if you stop the season right now, I think Russell Wilson wins the MVP award. I don't think that that's actually an overly hot take. I think that's pretty common knowledge so far. There are a couple guys that you could maybe argue otherwise. Whereas Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, has completely disappointed everyone. He has an over 1-to-2 touchdown ratio, or touchdown to interception ratio on the season. Just not good at all. Not what you like to see from your starting quarterback, especially with someone as much hype as Baker had coming into the season. Seattle likes to turn the ball over. They got that ball hawking defense so far on the year, 8 turnovers compared to only 5 giveaways. I really like the way the Seahawks have been playing. Some really solid wins thus far on the season against the Rams, the 1-point win, dominate the Cardinals. Tough loss to the Saints. That was a great football game to watch. Very tough loss. And then you go with the Steelers. And then they had to sneak one out against the Bengals, but they've been playing good football as of late. I'm a big Russell Wilson guy. I've loved the guy ever since he came into the league. And you never really know what you're going to get with the Browns. I think the Browns, sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. I just think the Seahawks are too good a football team. In this case, I don't see the Browns showing up this week. I think it could get real, real messy. So I'm taking the Seahawks -2.
I agree with the take, and I've taken that bet myself because the Browns have shown that they aren't dependable. They have the weapons to play football, but they just haven't been playing good football lately. And I believe that there's rumor of Odell Beckham being on a trade block. I heard from Watson earlier. It's not good for the locker room. And when you're going up against someone like Russell Wilson, who has been dependable since he's been drafted, and like you said, is having an MVP caliber season, I don't see why the Seahawks don't win this game by the lines at 2. So by a field goal, there's no doubt in my mind that the Seahawks don't pull this one out.
And the Seahawks finally have offensive weapons. Besides Russell Wilson, you look at Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Will Disley. Who the heck is that guy before the season? Like, Will Disley coming out of absolute nowhere. Chris Carson running the ball really well. Rashad Penny sort of providing that change of pace back in the backfield. So Russell, I think, has had a lot of success this season because he hasn't had to do it all. The Browns, one of the strengths of the Browns is obviously the pass rush. They've got fantastic pass rush led by Myles Garrett. What does Russell Wilson do well? He evades pass rush. You see him just running all over the field, throwing touchdowns, slinging bombs downfield. So I don't think the Browns pass rush is going to be overly effective this week. So that's why I like the Seahawks.
Just to add on to that whole idea of the Browns pass rush, when you have multiple options on multiple levels of the field, all of a sudden that pass rush starts to look really questionable. You can't add more guys to the blitz because as soon as you do that, DK Metcalf's going to burn you for a 50-yard pass downfield. You know, you can't start blitzing everybody because if you have a really good run game, sometimes you have to keep those linebackers set and waiting close to the line of scrimmage. So for me, I think that's another added factor. And the only game that the Browns have impressed me with this season was their win over the Ravens, 40-25. And that game was basically the Nick Chubb game. Nick Chubb took control, ran for 165 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I truly believe he was the reason why they won that game. And you look at Seattle, they're the 4th best rushing defense in the league. Good luck trying to pull off a long run against the linebacking core of Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, because they're going to put you on your butt in about 5 seconds. So for me, if you can keep Nick Chubb on lock, I think that the Seattle's have this game locked down.
Oh, look at that. The only thing that might concern me about the Seahawks, 2 offensive linemen questionable to go, Dwayne Brown, DJ Fluker, so maybe monitor their status before you lock this one in. But all great points. Love it. All right, last pick of the podcast. We are going full circle back around to the hockey world. Isaac, what do you got for us, man?
Start strong, finish strong. Never bad philosophy there, Benny. But I'm going to a Sunday night game. I hate to do this one, to be honest with you. But the Flames are in San Jose. Just to give you a little bit of background about the scheduling, because you can't go without scheduling the NHL these days. They play the Stars tonight. Calgary does. Today's Thursday. Saturday, they play Vegas. Then they're on the road again for the 3rd consecutive game in San Jose. The Stars are no easy team anymore. They are a very tight defensive team. They have some offense now. Joe Pavelski added to the tandem up front with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Then you go two days later and play against a division rival where you're fighting for first place against the Vegas Golden Knights. So 2 tough games there. And not only do you wrap up a road trip, but you wrap up 3 games and 4 nights all on the road against the San Jose Sharks. I'm taking the Sharks money line. It's going to be a plus without a doubt. If it's not a plus, I mean, I wouldn't believe it. It's a plus for sure. Mark my words on that. That's a lock. It's a plus. That's what for sure it is. They've been playing terribly, the San Jose Sharks have this season. So I think a lot of people are going to be like raising their eyebrows a little bit, but a lot of it comes down to their goaltending. It's been like atrocious, and it's an anomaly of how bad it is. Martin Jones, Dell, both those goaltenders, under .900 save percentages. They've been terrible, much in part due to playing against Vegas Golden Knights to begin the season for 2 consecutive games. It's going to turn out at some point, and I think facing the Flames on home ice, it's a division matchup. They have some motivation there, and they're facing a fatigued Calgary Flames team who actually hasn't been that good this season so far. I haven't really been happy with them either. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to suggest it out because I can't. I have a control against bet against favorite teams. But if I wasn't a Flames fan, put my bank on that plus odds there.
What absolute electricity coming from Carmi there. Incredible. Exactly what you like to see. I got nothing to add to that. That was fantastic.
It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before the Sharks figure things out. I think you're right. You know, that team is way too talented, regardless of goaltending, to keep up the 4-game losing streak that they've started this season on. And, it's probably going to be at home. So I like to take.
Yeah, they're going to be on the road tonight. But then they can wait until Sunday to put out the flame. So, Watson started. Watson started. I wasn't going to do this until Watson started bringing in these play on words. So I had to follow up. We had to follow up there. But, no, I like that take there. I wanted to end off on the hockey talk. The Edmonton Oilers money line tonight is dropping, like, very fast right now. So, if you want to get on a plus that I'm already in on, you might want to go in and do that right now. Don't even think about it. right now. But I mean,
sorry. So you're saying take the Oilers.
Take the Oilers. Okay. Plus, they're dropping faster than I can't
drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Exactly. So dropping faster than the oil prices. But but I would go in on that because it's dropping very fast. But we don't have time to go through with it. But it's dropping.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast this week. This was fantastic. I loved having all sorts of different insight on it, picks from different sports, which is always what we're looking for. So thanks to you guys.
An 8 for 8 week sounds pretty long, really.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure, Benny. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of Hot Takes Only. Make sure you check out some content. I think we're going to have some more blogs coming up over the next week on the website, so make sure you check that out. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Football is family.